Thank you, worship team. Well, hey, you may be seated. Thanks for being here. We are excited to going through a sermon series called Embrace, and we're going through the book of Habakkuk, or Habakkuk, as some of you may have grown up saying, and that's fine. Either way is good. So this sermon series, to give you a recap, if you're just joining us for this one, you can jump right in, because last week we looked at Habakkuk 1. And we saw how God used, he uses this prophet. And as we describe Habakkuk, it's this minor prophet. And now the reason, he's one of the 12 minor prophets. And the reason we use the word minor prophet isn't because Habakkuk is any less of a prophet, but because the book, the reason we describe it, it's a smaller book, where you see some of the prophet books are bigger books. So if you ever hear minor prophet, that's what it is. It's a description of the size. Habakkuk packs a punch when he's talking in his bold requests for God. And so we're going to look at that, and as we look at difficult times. So we are in the midst of difficult times. We have seen it time and time again with just things in our nation being brought up, with racism and oppression and social issues and so much going on in our government, and recently with hurricanes and fires and shootings. And so our heart breaks for these things. And maybe you've shown up this morning wondering, God, how could you allow all of these things? And so we come with heavy questions, and that's what I love about this book. Habakkuk brings these questions before God. Last week we saw he just lays it all out in front of God, and even as we looked at the word, the meaning of Habakkuk's name is embrace, and that's where we get our sermon series title from. It's that Habakkuk's name means embrace. There's a God who embraces Habakkuk, even in his tantrums, even in his, God, how could you? God embraces him. And yet what we see is that there's this brace. You notice in the title, how do we brace? How do we prepare for hard times? Whether we're in them now or we're coming to them, how do we prepare for like a crash landing? How do you brace yourself for that? So this morning we're gonna go into Habakkuk 2, the second chapter. And to give us a little update where we were last week, Habakkuk's here. They're in terrible times, around the year 600 BCE, and so he's here, and he's complaining to God, and so he has that in the beginning. Here's his complaint. He saw this wonderful king, Josiah, who had restored Israel and a lot of the land back towards God, and yet what we find is that Josiah ends up, this king gets killed. So a great king gets killed, and the people are upset, because in Josiah's place, two evil kings come after him, and wicked kings that do terrible things. And so the people are just saying, God, we had a good king. How could you do this? And so this complaint goes before God, and then God answers. And God says, Habakkuk, I'm going to tell you something, and you might not understand it. Habakkuk's kind of laid on me. God lays it on him, and yet what we find is that Habakkuk's like, God, I don't understand. Because we see this interesting text that says, God says, I'm actually going to bring up a more wicked nation, Babylon. They're going to come in and conquer you, a lesser of the evil. And so Habakkuk's like, what? God, why would you use an evil, wicked nation to judge us? And so we'll get to Babylon in the next week. But it's still in this back and forth with God. So Habakkuk complains again. And then chapter 2, we have this little interlude. This little spot where after his main complaint, it's like this little pause. And he says this, chapter 2, verse 1. And if you don't have a Bible, we'll throw it up on the screens. But we also have them in our pews. The big blues in the pews. Grab one. That's our gift to you. Take that home if you need a Bible. Let me read this. It says this, verse 1. So Habakkuk is saying, I will stand at my watch. I will station myself on the ramparts. I will look to see what he, God, will say to me and what answer I am to give to this complaint. It continues. Then the Lord replied. So God replies to him and says this, write down the revelation. Make it plain on tablets so that a herald may run with it. For the revelation awaits an appointed time. It speaks of the end and will not prove false. Though it linger, wait for it. It will certainly come and will not delay. See, the enemy is puffed up. His desires are not upright, but the righteous person will live by his faithfulness. So how this morning we are going to look, Habakkuk gives us a little key. How do you brace for difficult times? Because a subtitle of the book of Habakkuk or Habakkuk could be preparing, bracing for difficult times. So how do we prepare that? And it begins with a little theme of standing. As you see from the very beginning, so if you're taking notes in the first box, write stand. Because Habakkuk says this, I will stand at my watch. We're going to look at 3 points, stand, wait, listen, just in that first box. And so Habakkuk says this right at the very beginning. He says, I will stand at my watch. So this standing, God said there's this patience, there's this aspect that Habakkuk is waiting to hear from God. Do you know the origin of the term, what we often say? Because, well, let me go real quick right here. Where Habakkuk is here, he's waiting for God's answer. So he's standing on the wall and he's asking God for an answer. Yet a lot of us, we don't like to wait, do we? Amen. If I were just to, awkward silence, right? Pause for a little bit. There's this moment of, I can't even handle it. I had to fill the silence. There's this, we don't like silence. We don't like to stop. And yet, there's this aspect, Habakkuk says, I will wait, I will stand. So he says this, I will stand on my watch. And so he stands. Do you know the word, this is what I was going to get to, the word waiter, the origin of it, a waiter or a waitress, is somebody that stands at a table and waits for the order. So a waiter or a waitress stands at the table, someone that you're serving, we say server, is saying, hey, what is the order? What are you going to give me? And that's kind of the image that I want us to have this morning, that we would stand and wait for God's orders. Wait for what God's going to say. We're going to wait, we're going to stand and wait till God responds. You know what I love about the image of standing? And it's in Habakkuk and his whole complaint that there's this boldness that Habakkuk has before God. Think of just the image of physically standing. So in your relationship with God, I encourage you to stand with him. There are times and seasons where you want to kneel before a holy God and kneel and maybe just be in a quiet room and pray. But there's other times that you get to stand in front of God and say, God, what's going on? God, I look to you. I'm standing here. I'm waiting for orders. God, I'm waiting for action to happen. There's a point of reverence, but there's also a boldness that we get to approach God. As the writer of Hebrews says, boldly approach the throne of grace. And we'll explain more of that in just a moment. But there's this aspect of standing. So I want you to write that word, stand down. Not stand down, that'd be something different. But the next one is wait. So wait, how do we wait? And what when you wait for somebody, there's an aspect of patience. God says this to Habakkuk, he's talking about, he's saying, write down the revelation, make it plain on tablets. So he's going on, he's telling him that it speaks of the end and will not, like, although it seems, though it linger, wait for it. This word, wait, wait. God calls us to wait. We might want results now, but God says, wait. It might seem like it's lingering, but we have to begin to trust that God is working something out and that God is good. So wait, so the practice of patience. I mean, think about just anything, anytime waiting. I hate waiting. Like if you've been in a doctor's office and you're waiting and you're waiting and you're waiting, you're like, man, can't they just schedule this and figure this out? But imagine if you had some sort of terminal illness and you just leave and you got out of there and not actually waiting around for the treatment that you needed. Look at this. It says, Habakkuk says, I will stand at my watch and station myself on the ramparts. This idea, station, so this waiting that he's here and he says, I'm not leaving. I will stand at my watch. There's this kind of terminology of I'm at my station, I'm at my post. I'm not going to leave it because I'm the one that's watching. And what is he watching for? He's watching for God to act. But think about military, somebody that's standing their post. How they couldn't just get up and say, well, I felt like just grabbing some chips and getting a soda, so I'm going to take a little break. No, they have to stand at their post and they have to stay awake. They can't fall asleep. And I remember back in high school, one of my jobs, you can make fun of me for it, was lifeguarding. But there was this aspect of when we were lifeguarding, there was this seriousness, although there was a bunch of guys and we loved to goof around and have fun all the time. But when we knew when we were up on that chair, we knew that people's lives were in our hands. And sometimes it's just crazy when you're lifeguarding. Sometimes people, just parents would assume the lifeguard's watching all their kids. So they just drop their kids off at the pool and like, see, I'm going to go off and party and hang out. And it's like some of these kids like can barely swim. So, I mean, we knew we couldn't just fall asleep at the post. We had this schedule where another lifeguard would come up and make sure you have two eyes there and you're watching when you switch because you don't even want to miss for a second. Because one life is too valuable to go off. As I would argue, as we look to see God moving, that God's word is too valuable to miss. Now here's where I want us to look at, to wait. When we wait for it, know as that word is too valuable to miss, stay waiting. You might be in a season where it's not coming. Or you're not feeling it, and maybe you're not energized by it. Keep waiting. Keep listening. The third one is listen. Listen to hear what God is saying. Listen for it. You might not hear it all the time, but this act of listening, as he's saying this, I will stand at my watch and station myself on the ramparts. I will look to see what he will say to me. Do you know God speaks to us? God speaks to us through his word. God speaks to us as we pray. And so we listen. We listen for a word from God. And so we want to hear from him. But we have to actually have a posture where we listen. We have to have a posture where we want to hear. We talked about previous weeks, or last week, when we can simply just say, well, when difficult times come, where do you go? Do you tweet about 10 reasons why I left the church? I was just upset with this, or I didn't hear from God, or why I left the faith. Do you actually station yourself? Do you go to the wall? Do you go to God and say, God, I need to hear from you? Because you hold the words of life. I can't find them in other places. But I mean, think about that. Maybe in your life, maybe you've been looking for life. Maybe you've left your post and you've been trying to find life in something else. Maybe it's an addiction that keeps coming up. Or maybe it's certain websites or a substance that you keep going back to. Or maybe it's something could be as innocent as just constantly clicking on Amazon. I get the giggles. I love Amazon. But sometimes we have to check our hearts. Are we constantly going for things? Are we trying to find, are we numbing something? Is there this dissatisfaction in this world, in this life? How do we try to go and fill that void sometimes? That numbing. Have we left our posts? Are we not listening? Are we not waiting? Are we not wanting to hear from God's word? Are we trying to find it in our own ways? And so what Habakkuk does, he says, I'm going to station. I'm not going anywhere. I want to hear from the Lord. Part of the way we listen is crying out, is praying. I could ask the question, I always see people squirm when I say, how's your prayer life? We kind of go, ugh. It's not as good as it should be. And I'll be there with you. It's not as good as our prayer life could be so much better, couldn't it? Yeah, I think part of this is simply, think about this. Let's think about this for a moment. How many of you have seen God work wonderfully, whether through an amen, a Ric Flair, woo, something, give me something. How many of you have seen God do amazing things through prayer? Amen. Amen, right? there you go. Thanks for the Ric Flair. Woo. Come on. That God does amazing things through prayer. We've seen it. Maybe if you're joining us, you've heard other people, you've seen how God has worked through prayer. And so there's this aspect that we cry out to God and he actually responds. I mean, notice this here. He says, I will look to see what he will say to me. God speaks to Habakkuk. God speaks to us. As we pray and cry out to God, God speaks back. God moves. Now, there was a pastor, a famous pastor that was once approached years ago, that somebody in his congregation went to him and said, you know what, I've given up. I'm not waiting. I'm not sticking around. I'm giving up. I've been praying on this thing, and I never heard a response from God. I quit. And then he kindly said to him, well, I can guarantee you this. If you don't pray, you're not going to get a response from God. What do you have to lose in crying out to God? Pursue God. There's New Testament passages that often talk about God wants to be pursued time and time again. Just keep bringing your request to God. In sales, they teach it. You already have a no, so what does it hurt to ask? Habakkuk is bold and he says, God, I want an answer from you. So maybe you would be encouraged in praying, stand boldly before God and say, God, what about this? Would you show up here? Don't be afraid to ask. Keep asking. And if you're not getting a response, keep at it. Don't give up. You won't get a response by not praying. So you might as well give a prayer. And here we see this. God does respond. We might not see it all the time in the ways that we think, but he does respond. Now let's look at the second point, that God shows up. When he shows up, he's here. But notice how Habakkuk, his position. So his posture, he's standing, he's waiting. But where does he go? He goes to the ramparts. Now, this isn't a word we use often, rampart, right? But what this is this wall, this defense mechanism, a lot of castles and cities. And so that's where Habakkuk goes. He goes up to the ramparts on a higher ground. Sometimes they were walls, sometimes they were like towers. But they were up on a higher, at least some sort of elevation, where they could see the enemy coming. There was a defense against the enemy, but they knew they wouldn't be unprepared for what's coming ahead. So the other day I was driving down the 55, no longer my Bay Area routes. Every time freeways you would say 55 or 4, now it's the 55. Some of you SoCal, you guys know what I'm talking about. Everything's the. So I'm driving down the 55, and so I'm noticing that traffic is starting to, I'm looking on the 55, there's this spot, if you know what I'm talking about, there's kind of like this downhill. A lot of our freeways are flat down here. And there's a spot where you're kind of higher on the 55 and you look down. And as I'm looking down, I notice traffic is coming up ahead. The right three lanes are clogged. And so I'm like, oh no. But I see the fast lanes a little bit faster but slow. And then the carpool lane, you just see a long stretch. Look in the car. Yes, got my family with me. So I'm getting over a few lanes and I'm just cruising and I'm looking, you know, kind of like, ha, ha, ha. Yeah, I know, pray for me, pastor. I'm like, suckers, you know, and as I'm driving down, but I would have never saw that if I didn't have that higher ground, that perspective. And that's what happens in our life sometimes. We're in the middle of traffic. I mean, think about traffic most of the time. You just see the red light in front of you. You're going, braking, forward, and you're like, oh, this traffic. But imagine if you can always be, just have that higher perspective. Some of you are like, I know, Waze, just use it. Google Maps, use it. I know, those are good things, but they don't always work. Imagine if you could always have just one of those traffic, you know, helicopters flying over, hey, take this route, do this route. This higher perspective. Sometimes we need that in our lives. As we're going, we're just there, the red brake lights, and we're annoyed in traffic. But sometimes we need to be removed and see that God is working things out. And he says, my ways are not your ways. My ways are higher than your ways. You might not see the end. The Babylonians are coming to destroy you. And I know it doesn't make sense. And he promised Habakkuk, it's not going to make sense. And then Habakkuk says, you're right. It doesn't make sense. But God says, trust me. I am working something out. And he says to have patience. Notice this, let's go real quick. Keep your spot in Habakkuk. We're gonna go over to James towards the end of the Bible, after Hebrews. James says this, don't lose your place in Habakkuk. James chapter 4 says this, verse 13. He says, now listen, you who say today or tomorrow we will go to this or that city, spend a year there, carry on business and make money, why do you not even know what will happen tomorrow? He says, what is your life? You are a mist that appears for a little while and then vanishes. There's an encouraging, uplifting verse for you this morning. You're a mist, a vapor. It says, instead, you ought to say, if it is the Lord's will, we will live and do this or that. So James is saying here, you make plans for tomorrow. You say, well, I'm going to do this or that. And he says, how do you know? You don't know. What you should say is, well, if it's the Lord's will. Now, we don't have to run around like robots every time we make a future plan and say, well, if it's the Lord's will, if it's the Lord's will. We don't have to do that. But it's a heart issue. You have to realize as we make plans, this might not be in God's will. Think about this. As we talk about patience, the opposite of that, impatience. When we become impatient, it's because what we're doing is, imagine this, we have a plan in mind, a destination in mind, if you will, in our life. Maybe it's a career path. Maybe it's a job you're looking for. Maybe it's just something you were hoping, like, I could go home and relax this evening, and then something comes up. And what do? When that destination gets blocked, we become angry, impatient. Well, I wanted to get here, and now I can't. And so we get angry. But how do we know that was going to be the best thing for us? We don't. Sometimes we might assume we know, but we don't know this career path. We don't know. Maybe God wanted to teach us something instead of just vegging out and watching all of Stranger Things on Netflix in one sitting. Some of you were there, I know. It's all right. God says, I had something else, and it might be challenging. It might be difficult, but I'm going to take you on a different path. And maybe this career you were hoping for, or studying, or something, he wanted to take you on this path, and you're so frustrated. God, why? Why does this happen with our nation? Why are these evil things? And God says, I'm doing something. You might not understand it, but I'm doing something. Look at this verse, because really the impatience says, no, I know. God, I know the better way. And God says, I want you to trust. I want you to have patience. You might think you know, but trust, I might be doing something. So let's look as it continues. It says this in the last point. Verse 4. See, the enemy is puffed up. Did I give you the second point? No? Okay. So stand on high ground. Be patient. It's not rocket science. Stand on high ground. Gain perspective. And that we would be patient, because as God says, although it lingers, wait for it. It's coming. And let's see what's coming. Verse 4. See, the enemy is puffed up. His desires are not upright. But the righteous person will live by his faithfulness. The righteous person, the person that is right with God, will live by his faithfulness. So how do we prepare for this? It's by being faithful. By saying, God, I don't see everything going on. I don't understand all the pain and the suffering that's going on in this world, but I'm going to stay. I'm going to keep crying out to you. I'm going to keep coming to church. I mean, how often do we just say, well, I'm not getting anything out of church, or I'm not getting anything out of prayer, and so we quit. But what if God is storing up something for you or for somebody else for another day? It might not be in this moment, but God is bringing such good news that he says this, write down the revelation and make it plain on tablets so that a herald, somebody that brings good news, somebody that brings something that will come to play, he say, may run with it. For the revelation waits an appointed time. And continuing on, though it linger, wait for it. It will certainly come and will not delay. be faithful and trusting that it will not delay. Now this verse, but the righteous person will live by his faithfulness. The New Testament writers got a hold of this verse and saw that this pointed to Jesus. The righteous person will live by faith. Hold your place there. We don't have it up on the screens, but Romans 5, it's in the New Testament. And look what Paul writes here. He says this. Therefore, since we have been justified through what? Faith. We have a peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. So he's saying Habakkuk had this complaint before God, this holy God. He says, and the reality is you and I, we don't have peace before a holy God. We cry out about the Babylonians and this evil in the world. Yet, if we're true to ourselves, there's evil in our hearts. And so, yet, how do we come? The righteous, the reality is nobody's righteous. So the righteous person will live by faithfulness, but the reality is that none of us have been faithful. I haven't been faithful. I continue to be unfaithful to a faithful God. Yet God's plan to fix this is here. He says this, we have peace through our Lord Jesus Christ, through whom we gain access by faith in this grace in which we now stand. And we boast in the hope of the glory, not only so, but also the glory in what? Our sufferings. Because we know that suffering produces perseverance or patience. Perseverance, character. And character, hope. And hope does not put us to shame because God's love, God's embrace, if you will, has been poured out into our hearts through the Holy Spirit and has been given to us. Just as we, in our sufferings, God is working something out. In our difficult times, just as coal is pressed hard to produce a diamond. Maybe you're going through some difficult times. Maybe you're in up to your ear in debt. Maybe you've been laid off of a job or have a terminal illness and you're saying, God, how could you do this? Yet the one debt that truly matters is the debt of your and my sin. And Jesus promises, he says, I have paid that debt in full. I have paid it on the cross. I went to the cross so your debt could be erased and that you could be in relationship, that a loving, holy God, no matter how big your tantrums are, no matter how big your pain is, a God that embraces you just like he embraces Habakkuk. Your debt has been paid. So no matter how difficult this life is, no matter what kind of pain you're going through, you can know that God has paid it all. He paid your debt through his work, his son's work on the cross. And so we can begin to have patience no matter what the suffering, our current suffering is not worth or compared to the future glory or the hope that we might have. This pressure that God's using in our lives might actually be producing something better. And it might even be such good news that we would herald it and maybe even bring it to other people. Something God might be doing, something in your life, it makes absolutely no sense now, but God wants to take that message that you have, that message of hope, and use it to bring to somebody else. Because of this thing called faith. And in your last notes, I want you to write this, that we would stand firm and have faith in a faithful God. Stand firm and have faith in a faithful God. Although Habakkuk, he was rude in his approach to God, God still forgives him and loves him. That's why we have a book like this in the Bible, because he says, you know what? Despite all of your wickedness, I still love you. I still embrace you. And that's what we see resolved on the cross. And so maybe some of you today for the first time need to take that step of standing firm, of maybe saying, you know what? I want to begin to have faith in a faithful God who went to the cross, who paid my debt. Although the Bible describes our debt, the wages for our sin is death. Yet Christ is the one that pays that penalty. He's the one. He says, your punishment, I'll take that punishment. And I'll take it on the cross. You know what? Although you and I have been unfaithful, God is faithful. So how do you become righteous? It's by faith. You will never be perfect, yet there was a God, there is a God who is perfect. Jesus lived perfectly, died on the cross so that you and I could live and have life. Would you want to step into that freedom? It begins by standing and saying, I don't have it all together. I'm going to put faith in a faithful God. It's not the amount of faith you have, but it's the one you have faith in. And man, that our God is strong. Would you begin to stand firm? You get to stand on solid ground. It's not your ground, but it's the one who you have faith in. In a moment, we're going to pray. And maybe for some of us, it's for the very first time, maybe it's taking that step of faith. But maybe it's a time of bracing, of being patient, of waiting, of listening. God, how are you acting? Maybe it's a time, maybe during our last song, if you'd like to come, just maybe in one of the corners, and just pray and say, God, I want to pray on behalf of our nation. Or maybe you're in the middle of something and need prayer. We could have some come up and pray for you, that you would just say, I need some prayer. But maybe you're just there and just want to pray or pray in your seats. I encourage you to stand this morning, to take a stand of faith. Maybe it's a stand of faith for the very first time. Or maybe it's a stand of faith, God, I'm sick of tired of this situation and I need you to act. The good news that we have, friends, is that God will not delay. He promises to come. He promised he would come and resolve this, and he sent his son Jesus, and he promises that he will return again and bring a future hope and glory in his son Jesus. Are you waiting for it? Are you looking for it? Are you listening? Are you writing it down? Wait patiently because he's coming. Let's pray. Father, we thank you for your word. Lord, may we wait on you this morning. Father, maybe there's some of us in the room that would want to take that stand for the very first time. God, would we pray these things to you? Father, I do have a debt. I do have things I'm swimming in, difficult times. Lord, yet, God, I look to you. I want to make a stand. I believe that Jesus died on the cross, that he paid my penalty in full, that he rose from the grave, and that I too will rise. If you prayed this prayer, and maybe as a stand, a moment right now, a stand of faith, as our eyes are closed and our heads are bowed, would you raise your hand? God sees you. Amen. God sees you. God sees you. God sees you. God sees you. Would you take that moment? Take this moment right now. And maybe you've already made that declaration and you say, man, I want to stand. I want to wait before the Lord. I haven't been waiting. God, I want to renew my commitment. Would you raise your hand now as a stand of faith? God, help me to be patient. Help me to stand before you. Father, would you help us? We make a stand here this morning. We stand and we ask, our world might be broken, but we ask that you would come through. The scriptures say you are the God of the breakthrough. You are doing a new thing. God, help us to have eyes open, ready to hear, to listen, to see you moving in our city, in our homes, in our lives. Father, help us not to just sit down on the couch. Maybe we would take a stand of faith and begin to respond. And maybe it's by sharing this hope that we have. Or maybe it's just coming in front of you with the tantrum and knowing that we are embraced by the Heavenly Father. May we know that this morning. We feel your embrace, and may we brace for difficult times. We pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen.